Given years of neglect, a prolonged drought, and devilish winds, the forests of the American West, and all that are in them, are poised to explode in flame. This leads us to ask, can what is inflammable be made uninflammable?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,327th edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. And hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Frankfurt who are tuned into the Food Chain podcast as we stream along at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, it's not easy to practice sleight of hand with fire, and so the demonstration I saw before me did really capture my attention. The object at hand was one of those thin cardboard FedEx mailers, the kind you send a check in. The mailer had been sprayed with a material that, I was told, would prevent the mailer from catching fire. A blue-hot flame from a blowtorch was then focused on the mailer, and a big puff of angry black smoke erupted from the mailer where the flame had been applied. But you know what? The mailer did not catch fire. I was then invited to touch the reverse side of the thin cardboard, and amazingly found it cool to the touch. This demonstration, and others like it, leads a skeptical me to ask, can what is inflammable be made uninflammable? Well, let's ask Sean Sabari, who is the CEO of the Komodo Fire Prevention System. Sean, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you, Michael.
Good to have you aboard. CEO of Komodo Fire Systems. What is Komodo Fire Systems?
Well, we're a specialty materials company focused on preventing loss and addressing the wildfire problem that has just been growing on the West, as well as the rest of the world, really.
Yeah, good. You're kind of a serial Silicon Valley entrepreneur as well, are you not?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, that Silicon Valley is where people think things through and come up with things. And, you know, that really, if any place has changed our lives recently, it has to be Silicon Valley. So, going to see what you have cooking that will change our lives here. Also with us, we have Jack Kimmick, who is the firefighter, who was a firefighter, but now is a fire preventer, and who is working with Komodo. Welcome back to the Food Chain, Jack.
Thank you, Michael.
Now, fair to note for everybody that we've had Jack on the program before. He is the proprietor of the California Kurobuta Berkshire pig farm. We raised this delicious pig that I use for my bone tea. So I'm always pestering Jack for more trotters so I can make more bone tea. So that's how we've been working together. But in the off season or in the fire season, Jack has been fighting fires for a number of years. How long?
We started in 2008 as a subcontractor for Cal Fire.
So working for Cal Fire to put out, how do you do that? How do you put out, what part do you play in the firefighting business?
It's just that we're glorified water boys. We carry water in water trucks, and we keep the engines and heliports, and, you know, we just carry water. Where they tell us to go, we go.
So you fight fire with water.
Yes, sir.
Good. And then somewhere along the line, you became aware of Komodo. Tell us about your experience in becoming aware of what Sean has to offer the world.
Well, we've been spraying a product called Thermagel, and, you know, 15 years ago when it came out, it was a great product. However, it takes maintenance. There's a lot of limiting factors in applying it. It's slippery. It's hard to take off a building, but it does prevent fire. But you have to maintain it. You have to be next to it all the time. And so when I heard about this product that you could spray on a structure, a fence, trees, anything, and that you can leave it and you don't have to babysit it, then I was very interested.
And there you are, something new to look at. So you kind of make it, you talk, well, Sean was making mention of the fact that fires are getting hotter and hotter. Has that been your experience fighting forest, fighting wildland fires in the last decade and a half?
Yes, I think it's a lot of things. A lot of the forests now have been mismanaged for 30 plus years. There's a lot of fuel, a lot of debris. And once that starts to burn, it just creates a long-lasting hot fire with the winds and everything else. It's a blast furnace. So what 20 years ago...
It's kind of scary, isn't it?
It truly is. 20 years ago, we would see, you know, a fire would burn through a forest and the big trees would be okay. Now a fire burns through the forest and there's so much fuel that it's even burning the huge trees.
So lots of issues. And of course, it doesn't just burn the trees and the shrubs. It burns everything that's in the forest, right?
Yes.
And that's what's really frightening for everybody who lives in or near nature. How do we come to grips with fire, which has got to be our biggest fear? It is ours at the Olson home because we live below a eucalyptus grove. Mm. And eucalyptus are like tubes of dynamite, I think. They're truly frightening when they catch fire. So you're kind of making this transition in your career from being a firefighter to being a fire preventer.
Yes, it makes so much sense because nobody knows where the next fire is going to start. But if you have an asset, a property that you don't want to burn, you can apply this product at the beginning of fire season and it stays on all year. It takes 4 inches of rain to wash it off or defeat it.
Wow.
So that's a win-win all the way around.
Well, let's go back to Sean and learn a little bit about how Komodo Fire Prevention System came into being. Sean, do you remember that day when the apple fell on your head and you realized that, we can prevent fires instead of just fighting them?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit fortuitous. It was, we did not go after the fire market per se. I don't have any background in that.
You're a chemist, right?
I'm an engineer. I'm an aerospace engineer, and I've been in materials all of my adult life, mainly working in high tech, mainly working on specialty materials, environmentally and eco-friendly materials for the chip industry, the disk drive industry, the optoelectronics, solar. Pretty much grew up in Silicon Valley and saw a majority of those companies go offshore and get commoditized. So we had to either chase that industry to Asia or kind of reinvent and pivot. So we looked at industries that were local, that were domestic and could not easily be moved offshore. And architectural materials caught my attention because that was a material that the price kept going up as opposed to declining.
As anybody who tried to build a house lately knows.
Correct, right? So copper, 2x4s, paint. And I have over 20 years of deposition knowledge. I've worked with the companies like Applied Materials and Lam Research and, depositing films at the molecular level or even at the atomic level now is something that is what we do.
Wow.
So took a little bit of that knowledge and looked at, again, the architectural space. And we had a separate problem that had nothing to do with fire. And it was actually a sustainability problem. And we learned that this was an industry that consumed a lot of materials. And because of the widespread aerial drops and exposure to land, water, and air, they have to be very clean and eco-friendly. So, again, it was just kind of a combination of things coming together that was the genesis and the birth of Komodo.
But you remember the moment. That moment when you thought, holy smokes.
We did. And so you know, it was a research project, really. And back in 2017, during the Tubbs fire, my dad's house in Sonoma County burned. And so there were a lot of people that lost their homes, and there were several that lost their lives. And so that's when it actually crystallized that we had to really accelerate and get this product up and commercialized and approved by the various agencies so that it could be helping put a dent in this problem.
Well, in observing the demonstrations that I have been provided by your company, it's truly amazing, because I can watch a blowtorch being put to straw and the straw doesn't burn, or a cardboard box and the cardboard box doesn't burn. How on earth did you come up with the recipe?
Well,
it's not in Betty Crocker, right?
You know, we take a lot of our inspiration from nature. We try to work with a lot of natural products. Obviously, they are, by definition, sustainable. You know, we can grow more food. We can grow more plants. And so a large portion of the Komodo makeup is natural. So we don't have to go offshore again and be dependent on supply chain issues. So it's all domestically sourced. A lot of the ingredients are, you know, food grade, even kosher in some instances. And
so if you spray Komodo on a cat, would it kill the cat?
No. No, in fact, that's been done. They've done a lot of kind of natural plant and animal testing.
So this is something you could spray on your house plants and on your garden plants.
People do all the time, yes.
And it prevents fire, prevents them from catching fire. How does it work?
So We worked in the early days of the chip industry with a certain category of dielectrics called spin-on glass. And there's some of that technology that's still used, but now they're using different kinds of vacuum deposition. But spin-on glass is basically liquid glass. So we use what's called siloxane chemistry, silicon sand, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we are able to put it into a solution where once the film dries, it leaves behind a kind of glass-like film. So the mechanism I describe of Komodo is both mechanical in nature. So we provide a physical shield or a physical barrier that prevents the torch or embers or an open flame from readily igniting the cellulose material or the combustible material. Mm-hmm. And then using some of the microchemistry and microsuppressants, we embed into the formulation known products that fight fire. So things like nitrogen, obviously water.
Carbon dioxide.
CO2, yes. We release those upon heat, and those essentially wipe out or suppress the fire.
It's kind of like, no, I am not going to burn.
Yes.
I refuse it. Go away. And that's what you do with your various materials that you have figured out how to put in solution with what? What is the solution? What is the base solution?
Water-based.
Water?
Yeah, water-based.
Mm. How do you apply this, Jack?
High-pressure spray. Not like a water truck. Where you're pushing out, you know, gallons and gallons of water, but more like using an elastomeric spray gun, you know, painting a house.
It's kind of like painting fire prevention. Correct. On your house.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Spray it on and forget it.
That's it.
Done. So how did you go about applying this stuff to the FedEx mailer that I watched you burn? And I'm still trying to figure that out. So you took the FedEx mailer you put a blowtorch to it, a big angry puff of black smoke popped up, and then nothing else happened. It didn't burn. So you just spray this stuff on this FedEx mailer? Is that all you did?
That's all we did, yeah. Yeah. I think they brushed, and this that particular example, the lab had just brushed those on.
So just applied, there it is.
Correct.
Does not catch fire. So what are the uses for Komodo fire prevention solutions?
Well, one of the, again, we've been working on this project for a total of about 7 years, and 2022 is our first commercial launch. We have received our state and federal approval for, large-scale adoption of Komodo.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. I got so excited I forgot to watch the clock. But when we come back, what can we use Komodo Fire Prevention Solution for? Do stay tuned. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, today we have some very interesting guests. Sean Sabari, right? I get that correct. Right, from Komodo Fire Systems, and also Jack Kimmick from Komodo as well. And you, do stay tuned.
And now, more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
We are back. We're talking about fire prevention, not firefighting. Jack, you've been a firefighter for 14 years, dumping water on fires. Not doing that right now. What you're doing is preventing fires by spraying Komodo Fire Prevention Solution, water-based solution. You can spray the cat, won't kill the cat, or you can spray it on all of your domestic plants, and it will protect them from catching fire, prevent fire from catching. Easy to do. It sounds much easier to do than dumping water on a fire. Am I wrong?
You know, it's very easy. This is one thing that caught my attention, is that it's something that's so easy to apply that a do-it-yourselfer can do it. You can hire a commercial applicator, a certified applicator that can do it. It's one of those products that, when handled properly, it's very effective.
And we were talking a little bit earlier from the last break about the possible uses for it. As we speak right now in Moss Landing, California, we're having a big fire. And we suspect it might be related to the Tesla batteries that are stored down there by Pacific Gas and Electric. If so, could Komodo Fire Prevention System prevent something like a lithium battery from burning through everything?
This is a very hot topic. We have at least a dozen different research programs ongoing. As you know, electric vehicles are here and will continue to grow. If you recall, with the Galaxy, Samsung handheld phones, lithium-ion batteries historically have had a problem with thermal runaway and flames and catching fire. So now with bicycles and lawnmowers and almost everything that we use being battery powered, this topic continues to come up. And so we are working on it, and we do have variants of Komodo that are specific for a battery application.
Quite possible. But the big application, of course, we're thinking of today are homes and landscapes and outbuildings that are in the forest and wildlands. Can they be protected? And can Komodo protect them and prevent them from catching fire, Sean?
Absolutely.
Wow. That sounds unequivocal. Unequivocally, yes, we can protect them. This is hugely significant. Do you suggest those who live in the wildlands still go about building a defensive perimeter around their home?
Absolutely, yeah. Komodo is an integral part of creating defensible space, basically the home hardening program. Obviously, there's no one magic solution, and I think proper management of vegetation, clearing debris, common sense approach to keeping things clean and preventing combustible materials from coming in contact with the house, and combined with Komodo could be a game-changing solution for the wildland-urban interface.
And of course, Jack, I suppose you have some experience with homes catching fire in forest fires. It's really the flying embers, aren't they?
Yes. You know, we see a lot of places that have basically been passed by because the firefighters will look at this block of homes and they'll see the home that has the leaf litter all over the roof. It's got vines that are dead climbing all over the deck. They've got firewood stored underneath the deck. They're going to see that house, and that's going to be very difficult to defend. But they go to the next house, and they see where they've got all the bark pulled away from the edge of the house. They've got trees trimmed. The branches from, you know, 6 to 10 feet up are all pruned off. And it's a defensible space. Now, with Komodo, this product can be sprayed with that underneath the eaves, the bottoms of the decks, the top of the deck, the sides, the well house out in the back. Fences. If you have a neighbor that's not cleaning up their back of the fence area, you can spray that, and that will prevent that from burning. So it's one of those products that I look at it as like when penicillin came out, because that was a big game changer for everybody's health. And this product, and I've played with it, I've seen it, it is amazing that it actually does what it's supposed to.
What is happening to homeowners in the woods these days, especially here in California?
You know, they're losing insurance. You know, if you're in a fire area, the insurance company says, hey, we're not going to cover you. And so with the number of fires, Cal Fire has just added last year, I think it was 700 new trucks, because they have such a huge area to cover. That people think, oh, well, Cal Fire will protect me. And it's like, well, they will protect you, providing they're not spread so thin that they're taking care of everybody else. So people have to be proactive and take care of their property on their own.
Sean, would Komodo protect a house in those fiercely wind-driven fires? I mean, is there a limit to how much protection you can provide?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there are just certain wildfires that are fuel rich, you know, fierce winds. They make their own microclimates. You hear of firenados. You hear of embers traveling for miles, kilometers. And so, as Jack mentioned, you know, it's just, you know, what we're proposing is not to eliminate the risk of loss and wildfires. I always say if we can make a 10% dent, I'd be more than happy. However, you know, we liken it to different types of safety mechanisms in an automobile, like anti-lock brakes or seat belts or airbags. No single component is going to be the final safety factor. However, integrating Komodo into your main plan will certainly improve the survivability of that property.
So if a flying ember lands on the roof, it won't catch fire right away.
That's correct.
So it gives one time and extra an extra shield to protect. That's which is a really big deal when you're out there, especially if you're fighting it by yourself. You know, you have a garden hose on the roof and a hot ember lands on your roof and it doesn't catch fire, and that's a big deal. Wow. So you have this incredible product, and you're a Silicon Valley startup. So you take this to the marketplace, and Cal Fire and U.S. Forest Service and everybody says, oh, great, we'll buy. But they don't do it that way, do they? What hoops did you have to go through to become approved by Cal Fire, U.S. Forest Service, and so on?
Well, as you can imagine, there's certain amounts of exposure, and you know the government doesn't endorse products. Because of Freedom of Information Act and other historical events, they really do their homework before they put their stamp of approval on any product. So even though we had the early versions of Komodo several years ago, it takes about 2 years to go through the federal government program. It's very expensive. And they're mainly concerned, actually not even with the performance of the product. They assume that if you are applying...
Well, of course it works.
It works. So right? that's a given. Uh-huh. And so they are more concerned with things like how is it going to interact with aircraft as far as corrosion, how stable is the product in cold and hot environments over long periods of time. What does it do to fish if it gets into a waterway or a reservoir? What does it do to plant life and animal life? Because obviously, you know, you're dumping this in large volumes in forest areas. And so there's, you know, 30-some categories of experiments that they do at the federal government level, as well as third-party tests, third-party laboratory tests. And before they give it the final passing grade.
So if you go through those hoops, it's pretty, you know, homeowners can be pretty well assured that if CDFA and U.S. Forest Service and all those government agencies have certified you for use in fighting their fires, that homeowners can pretty well be assured that pretty good product.
That's correct.
And that's something that everybody has to be concerned with. Is what I'm going to apply going to kill my cat or my plants or anything else? And it doesn't. And it doesn't not by virtue of the approval from the CDFA and the CAL FIRE and everybody else, it does not seem to harm the environment in any way.
That is correct.
Wow. It's almost too good to be true. So what am I missing?
Well, again, we're not going to be the 100% solution, that we're going to address a certain segment of this market. Obviously, there are legacy relationships that go back decades, and we're a new novel approach. When I speak with fire chiefs, fire captains, we work with many, many, many. When they see the performance of Komodo, they don't believe it. And the concept of prevention, as Jack mentioned, I think is a new concept, because historically for, you know, over a century, you know, fires erupt, some guys show up with a tank of water and a nozzle, and that's pretty much how we still fight
fires.
That's
how Jack fights fires, yeah, that's how we fought fires, right?
That's correct.
And this whole notion of being able to spray on a solution that stops fires from flaming up, people got to shake their head and go, are you kidding me?
Well, and you know, obviously there's a cost associated with it. There's planning. But as Jack mentioned, you know, we've made it convenient, offering a do-it-yourself packet, so you can go to a store and purchase this on Amazon or on our website.
So I could get my wife to fill up a tank and probably be me, though. So I could do it. Easy enough.
Treating the house, absolutely.
Treating the house.
Absolutely. And then there are professionals like Jack. He's putting together a team, and we have currently up and down California dozens of professional applicators. So they do high-risk areas in canyons and particularly fuel-rich mountain homes and whatnot. So they will provide the service as a subscription, maybe once a year, possibly twice a year if it's a particularly wet.
High risk. And you say stuff, the solution stays on until washed away by the winter rains. 4 inches it takes to wash it away.
That's correct.
And it just washes away and it goes down the gutter, but it doesn't harm anything downstream.
Plant-based.
At all. That's correct.
At all.
So going back to the semiconductor days, you know, part of us being a small kind of a niche material supplier, we learned back in the 80s that, again, there are class action lawsuits, there are...
better mind your P's and Q's, because everybody's out there gunning for you. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson. Today we're talking about not fighting fires. We're talking about preventing fires with Komodo Fire Prevention, .com. Spray it on, forget it, doesn't catch fire. Simple as that. When we come back, I'd like to hear more about how it's used in insurance-related businesses. Really fascinating stuff. Stay tuned.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Getting really hot out there in the forest lands of the American West. Hot, dry, just poised to explode at any minute. And those of us who live in or near nature in the American West all have one great fear that we share, and that's fire. We have other fears too, but that's one we all share. So Sean Sabari, the folks at Komodo Fire Systems, have come up with a solution that you could spray on your home, your garages, your outbuildings, your plants, your trees, and yes, even your cat if you want, because it's perfectly harmless for all living things, and it prevents those things that are made of cellulose from catching fire. And that's what we want to do, is to prevent fires from flaming up and burning us out. Sean, I was fascinated by your story of how this is being used by insurance firefighting trouble teams to protect high-value properties in very vulnerable areas.
Yeah, well, one of our board members is a former C-level executive from a major insurance company, and he has a saying that, you know, obviously an ounce of prevention, and if there's a claim, we're writing a check, so it's really too late. And we're really not interested because, you know, it's a damage that now has to be addressed. So they are only interested in preventive technologies. And so early on, many of the first adopters have been people in that line of work, not actual insurance companies, but contractors that do work for insurance companies, firefighting organizations that are responsible for going behind the fire line and protecting homes.
Kind of like Navy SEALs, right?
Correct. The hired guns, right? Yeah. The specialists. And again, if there's a preventive approach to minimizing the loss, then the insurance industry is interested. So we have several different programs going on with different insurance-related interests.
So if you're insuring a $10 million home on a hill someplace and amidst a lot of brush and the fire starts and you're looking at $10 million sitting up there on top of the hill, you call in specialists. And these aren't people who are typically forest fire fighters. These are specialists who go into the fire, go right into the thick of things with your fire prevention solution and spray it on and do what they can to save that $10 million investment or liability, I guess it would be, for the insurance company.
That's correct. And some of them can be firefighters. In fact, the majority of them are either retired or off-duty fire professionals. And even Jack, he's got that kind of a background. Mm-hmm. They proactively try to get ahead of this, but sometimes these are wildfires, and they cover thousands of acres very quickly. And so they have to be permitted to go behind those fire lines. And again, the insurance industry has been fleeing, especially since COVID, the state of California in particular, and high-risk areas. And so part of what we're doing is trying to offer an alternative, a different solution for vegetation management and neutralizing, you know, large-scale fuel loads.
Mm-hmm. In thinking about this relationship of insurance and fire and the Komodo solution, it would almost seem like Komodo is better than fire insurance in a way, because what does fire insurance do? Pays for ashes. What does Komodo do? Prevents the ashes. So, and I suspect a lot less money. Am I wrong?
No, that's correct. That's correct. You know, the cost of applying Komodo is less than, you know, painting your house or common materials like that. So it's very cost effective. And we also work with equipment companies that can provide automated systems that you don't consume the product. In other words, it can be deployed using an app in case there's a fire that causes an evacuation and your property is at risk. So,
well, wait a minute. So you have a sprinkler system set up? Is that what I'm hearing? That you can press a button on your app and...
Correct. Correct. Those systems exist, and currently they only spray water. They basically wet or mist the house down. But a typical forest fire is burning anywhere from 1,400 to 1,600 degrees. Water normally evaporates and is gone. A lot of times... long before the fire gets to the house. And so combining Komodo as an additive to those kinds of systems really provides additional protection.
Jack, take us through how you would go about protecting a homestead from wildfire with Komodo. What would you do?
Well, I think first we'd have to do a survey to determine what debris you have around. So obviously creating a defensible space. Then once that is created, then we would apply the Komodo to your fences. If you have a field behind you,
let's just spray it on.
Just spray it on. And we would apply it to make like a fire break before the fire would get to your property.
So you take your defensible space and you grow it out with Komodo then.
Correct. And other things
like...
What
about trees?
Shoot it up in the trees. We can shoot 70 feet up in a tree and apply it there. So when the crown fires, when the fire burns from the top of the tree to the next top of the tree, this really stops it. There's no fuel. There's no combustion. So it's one of those benefits. And
really, what you just said kind of crystallized something for me. What Komodo does is it denies the fuel. Is that a fair...
Correct.
Are you saying it just it's a shield that denies the fuel?
That's correct. We did a series of prescribed burns outside of California, in Illinois and in Oklahoma and in Texas.
You're burning up the country?
Burning up the country, but really with firefighters and in a controlled setting. And one of the things that one of the fire chiefs mentioned was that this creates kind of an edge exclusion zone, we call it. And that's exactly it, is denying the fire the fuel. And so we can literally define and paint the lines where we want to keep the prescribed burn in. So we can send it into, for example, into a runway on an airstrip, or we can send it into a lake, as opposed to letting it burn wildly and wherever the wind takes it.
So it makes a controlled burn a controlled burn.
A controlled burn, that's correct.
And you're using this a lot down in Southern California, Camp Pendleton, Miramar Naval Air Station, places like that.
We have programs going ongoing right now on with the military as well. Yes.
Wow. Okay. So we spray things, and that's as simple as that?
Very simple.
It can't be that simple. Nothing is that simple, Jack.
You know,
it's got to be more complicated than that.
Well, that's sort of what I was thinking, too, in the very beginning, because...
So simple as that, in essence, easy to do. Where are you going to take this now? We mentioned the various kinds of products that we can protect. Anything with cellulose?
Anything.
Fence posts? How do you use it for PG&E? Pacific Gas and Electric has power poles all over the place.
Well, obviously, creosote is used on power poles, on railroad ties, and these are historically very flammable or combustible substrates. And so
it's like dipping them in wax and seeing if they'll burn, right?
And diesel, correct.
And diesel, yeah,
they become like a Roman candle when they ignite.
Napalm.
And so, again, we provide a protective coating so that it blocks the fire, it shields the fire. It's also used in the footing and in the perimeter of power or batteries or power plants or solar fields, pretty much any infrastructure that you need to have protected. We have people that here in the Santa Cruz Mountains that use it on wells and well pumps, water treatment plants.
Oh, my goodness, the well. Yeah.
Yeah. So any infrastructure that is vital that needs to obviously, any utility for that matter. And, you know, you can think of telecommunications, for example, antennas, battery backup systems and places.
Anything that's important that you want to protect, there it is. Well, in considering this, I think a lot about agriculture. Of course, this is the Food Chain Radio program, so think about food resources and whatnot. And it's very interesting how a lot of the food processing facilities around the United States have been catching fire and burning up lately. Right here in the Monterey Bay area, we had Taylor Farms processing facility go up in flames. But what about vineyards? You have we have some of the world's most expensive vineyards in the neighborhood, producing some of the world's best wine. And I'm wondering, you know, some of those vineyards burned in recent fires. Can you protect them and still have the grapes be sellable?
Oh, absolutely. And we have multiple ways of providing, again, tiers of protection. I actually had a team of firefighters and arborists visit our facility recently, and they came out with bamboo and a lot of bay leaves and just the duff, the dry leaves.
These are things that burn. What can you do?
Oh, they burn even worse than the eucalyptus, I think, that you were mentioning.
Wow.
I had no idea because we had never looked at bamboo as far as fire is concerned. And so we ran some tests, and Komodo prevented them from combusting, and that was very eye-opening for that team. But obviously, in Napa, in Sonoma County, in wine country, they have, you know, specimen types of varieties. And it's not a matter of just losing that year's crop. A lot of times it wipes out that particular winery. And so one of the things that we can do, as Jack mentioned, we can go out and put a perimeter fence of Komodo around the winery itself. We have larger systems that Jack's working on right now as far as, you know, covering acreage. Think of a very large fire extinguisher that you can, again, remotely deploy. And so if a wildfire comes through that area,
press the button on your app and away it goes.
Correct, right. The operations and the field folks can provide a certain level of protection.
Hugely significant then for a lot of different agriculture and especially processing facilities and everything else too, because they tend to be located in outside of metropolitan areas. Now, what about metropolitan areas? How do we approach using this for metropolitan areas? Our eucalyptus grove that I talked about earlier towers over the city. And should a offshore wind, a hot offshore wind come and those eucalyptus trees catch fire, it'll burn down the town because those eucalyptus embers are like flaming hot bullets that shoot through the air for miles. What is the metropolitan application do you see down the road?
Absolutely. I mean, again, the single family residential is not really our core market, but we do have people buy it as an emergency kit. They leave in the garage for those kinds of applications. And, you have metro fire departments. And so you have a little more protection, a little faster access. And those engine companies are, minutes away as opposed to rural and kind of the urban or wildland urban interface type of properties, as well as using Komodo as a preventive solution on anything that's decking, fencing, dried material. You mentioned eucalyptus. As long as there's proper management and you're trimming and keeping it somewhat contained, you should be able to control most fires.
Yeah, so for someone like myself and my wife, you know, we worry about the fires because look up the hill and there's a eucalyptus. Perhaps a way to do this would be to buy some Komodo, stick it in the garage, and store it. Now, is it liquid or does it come in liquid or powder?
So both, we have both liquid concentrate, we have powder concentrate, and you dilute that with water before application. We also have ready to use, so you don't have to dilute. That's obviously more convenient and faster.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you the big question then, as long as we have a couple seconds left, not much. But can Komodo prevent the inflammable from and turn it into the uninflammable?
I would say in most cases, yes.
In most cases, yes. And therefore, can you protect homes and buildings and properties from fire?
This is our mission.
There you go, folks. Don't take my word for it. It could have fooled me with the sleight of hand and all that fire, but I don't know. See for yourself. Go to KomodoFirePrevention.com. Komodo, like the dragon, FirePrevention.com. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.